Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are halfway through March, almost.
Yeah. I think you should start using more of a exact measurement, like, like 48.2% through March.
Okay.
I think that'd be very helpful.
Well, none of it's helpful.
No, not at all. So I did leave a very exotic dinner. I'm part of this little group called Foodie Freaks.
Oh, yeah. You were going to send me the menus.
Well, I have the menus coming up. Actually, I do all the write-ups. I do all the... after the fact kind of pictures, put it up on a website, foodiefreaks.net.
So this is your group, yeah. and you schedule a dinner for the show night.
Well, there's a few people that actually potentially schedule, and this was out of my hands. I said, okay, do it. If you can't get this place any other night, just do it. So this was, here's the menu. I only stayed for two dishes. There was a few wines, some champagnes, about eight or nine different wines, but I'll tell you about the menu. It had a Caribbean influence. Hog snapper carpaccio with a very thinly sliced vegetables. And that was a Triens Rosé for Provence. Then we had yellow yam gnocchi with sautéed with roasted corn, thyme, butter, carrots, and Grand Marnier. And that was served with a Trevello. And then I left. Okay. So now they're all eating the following. Cow cod consommé with a cow cod ravioli.
Cow cod or cow cud?
Cow cod. C-O-W-C-O-D.
Okay.
Then there was a surf and turf, goat cheeks, brain, and spiny lobster. Served with a 2015 Chianelli Colombini Rosé Il del Montalcino from Italy. Then a jerk.
Montalcino probably or something like that. Or Montalcini.
Montalcini, that was it. Jerked wild boar, breadfruit.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Croquet. That's the one thing so far that's intriguing.
And the dessert was a jackfruit flambé with a duck egg and spiced rum with vanilla bean gelato with a dessert wine. And we had a som, a level three som, was explaining all the stuff to us. And I left after two dishes.
Well, you'd be plastered if you'd stayed.
Yeah, I love these events. So anyway, the next time I'm not going to do it on a Tuesday night. That's not going to happen. So I'll make sure they know that. What else? Next week's my birthday. I'll be here for that too.
Oh, yeah. How old?
I'll be 53.
Hmm.
So let's start off like we always do with a quick market update. So the employment numbers last week were well received. We saw that there was some concern going into it that, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? If all of a sudden we see a really good number and there's going to be inflation because everything we've seen is inflationary. And, well, what we saw was an excellent number, actually, 313,000 new jobs added to the payrolls, which we'll have a whole bunch of charts in a few minutes as we go down this list to talk about. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh, man, that's a pretty hot number. That's all I saw to begin with. And I know there were some wage numbers coming out, too. Well, the wage numbers came out a little bit softer. So the inflation component of this report was a little bit more subdued. All of a sudden, the markets, they're getting a little wonky pre-market, and all of a sudden, boom, they just take off. NASDAQ hits an all-time high.
What's triggered that?
It was the combination of, hey, we have a really good economy, and the fact that there really isn't a lot of wage growth pressuring on the inflationary front. Therefore, what that means is that the Fed probably isn't going to go as fast as we thought they would go. You know, every single report, we have to deal with this. You know, are they going to go three times or four times, two times or five times? And so now you got a good economy. The Fed going to keep pace maybe with only three hikes this year. Therefore, let's buy in. That's what's going on.
I think you've already bought in, folks.
Yeah. Then we saw the turnaround today. So that was Friday. It was a big move Friday. Then we saw a turnaround today because it was news of new tariffs. I don't think you could hear this, but we have some great tariff of sounds that Fletcher sent in, which I'll send you both of these. And on new tariffs on China and directed at intellectual property. Kind of a week of total nonsense, by the way, last week. Headlines all over the place that are continuing on with this week. We saw that the big tariff issue with regard to, oh, we're going to have a 25% tariff on steel, 10% tariff on aluminum, kind of faded a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, that disappeared almost completely.
Yep.
I got the biggest kick out of this intellectual property thing.
I don't even understand what they're trying to accomplish here and how they're going to do that. IP is one of the hardest things to prove, right?
No, they're talking about stolen. Well, there's that you're talking about the issue of like IP, for example, that might be involved in the design of a processor,
right?
A chip.
Yeah.
But I think that there's also the IP, which is easy to prove, which is bootlegging movies, which is a fascinating hobby in the South Asia or Southeast Asia. And I think they're also going after China for IP. But if it's going to involve the movie industry and all the stolen movies, the movie industry itself, I don't think wants that to happen because China now is becoming the biggest investor in most movies. So while they're soaking the Chinese for all these investments in these, you know, multi-million dollar films, they don't really want to make them angry.
So what is this? What is this all about then? Is it about handbags?
I have no idea.
Handbags.
I think it's just old thinking. I think they're not keeping up.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the tariff thing was up and down.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it, I do recall there was a hearing I was watching recently, and it was about it wasn't about intellectual property in terms of movies. They mentioned it or IP in design. It was about counterfeit goods.
Yeah, counterfeit goods. That's been an issue forever in China.
And apparently, there was some FTC woman was there, and she said that just in the United States is where most of it's being distributed. Once it gets into the country, it goes nuts. And there was, she said, the operation ordered 47 items from eBay and even Amazon and elsewhere, and 20 of them were counterfeit.
It's not like, well, some of these companies may be hurting. You know, you see these bags that are $400 or $500 for this crappy leather bag, and they're being sold on the counterfeit market for, let's say, $50. They're not worth more than $50. They're not worth more than that.
No, they're not worth. They're probably worth about $25.
It's crazy. So it should, you know, provide a significant amount of competition, but what they're trying to do is stifle that too.
I don't know what they're up to. You're right.
Well, the tariffs went from 25% in the beginning of the week on steel, like across the board, 25% to and 10% on aluminum to, well, you know, we're going to exclude
everyone.
Mexico, we're going to exclude Canada and other countries. You know how President Trump does that, you know, and many others. I call it the Bubba Gump tariffs. I talked about this last week on the TDI podcast. Remember Bubba Gump and the different kinds of fish that he had? Ball shrimp, fried shrimp, you know, sausage shrimp. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, we got big tariffs, little tariffs, carve-out tariffs, negotiated tariffs, excluded tariffs, hard tariffs, soft tariffs, retaliatory tariffs, tariff sell-off, tariff rallies, tariff benefits, tariff losses. I mean, it's just going crazy. Seriously.
Well, a lot of this will go by the wayside if what happens today in other words, if the Trump candidate in Pennsylvania loses, I don't think Trump's going to be that happy about the fact that Pennsylvania, these things are designed for Pennsylvania.
Well, but that was the steel and the
aluminum.
Yeah.
The new stuff's all, yeah, you're right. It's from all targeting, who knows what.
So I was wondering what was going on with this because it was really annoying me all last week. You know, we start off this trial balloon set up about these harsh tariffs. And then at 3:55 p.m. on Thursday afternoon, no coincidence, that's right when the markets close, is when President Trump signed in and spelled out what the deal is. So U.S. Steel, by the way, comes out with, hey, these tariffs are good. Good, good, good. Finally, we're getting some control of this. We're going to restart one of the plants and bring on 30 workers or something like that. Meanwhile, the stock initially when tariffs were announced went up to about $52, closed in, I think, at 40-ish today, like 41. Mm-hmm. Because this whole idea of, you know, we're using this as a negotiating tactic, which, by the way, was all about NAFTA, and they caved on the two countries that we deal with NAFTA, Mexico, Canada. Next, we're excluding Australia. It's a political hot button. I agree. The whole Pennsylvania thing was all about that. So, but now, so where is this thing? What we're focusing on China, and why poke the bear? Well, I don't understand. Why are we doing this?
Well, the theory is that Trump is all early bargaining for trade deals down the road, and this is just a negotiating tactic.
These tactics are not, first of all, they're not professional. They're not even well done. They are surprising not only to the people that you're tariffing, but everybody in your administration. You know, it's the whole thing is crazy. And now we have tariffs to punish China for theft of intellectual property. And that's why maybe the tech companies sold off today. The United Kingdom is considering taxing global digital revenue by internet companies.
What does that mean?
It's just going to put a tax on digital revenue. So that would be like, I guess.
What does that even mean?
It means the money you earn from digital.
Well, everything's digital. Everything's digital.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they're, I don't know, maybe. And why aren't they collecting taxes anyway? I mean, so are they going to hit like the Twitters and the.
I have no, it's still gone. It's gone nuts.
Yeah. Gone very, very crazy. Some other things that are going on, then we'll get to some of the employment numbers. House Intelligence Committee Republicans are ending their investigation of Russian meddling. Meddling. Is that like a sophisticated term, like a legal term, meddling?
Meddling, yeah, it's meddling. It's the meddling law of the 1920s. I have no idea. Meddling. What are they doing? They're meddling, those guys. They're meddling.
The meddlers. So now they're going to pursue some new thing and whatever, and I don't know. You know, this thing has gone on long enough, but we're still seeing again back to full circle, back to employment now. So I said they came in hot. We had 313,000 new payrolls added. Unemployment rate is 4.1%. Markets, again, were up on that. So I put the charts up and I saved you some time this week. Usually we talk about this number and then you have to go and get over to your internet and you have to go over to Shadow Stats. I got them all for you. Make it really easy. So here's a chart over on DH Unplugged. You can find this on episode number 399. Next week is a combo birthday and episode 400. That's a big thing.
Yes, that's great. Mm-hmm. Shadow Stats at least it shows some downward trend. Not much of one.
Well, it's still at 22%.
Yeah. Which sounds right. I mean, if you look at the tent cities that are all over California, which is one of the highest employment rates in the country, but we still have tent cities. Next is going to be, you know, little villages, or what do you call them? Shanty towns. That's coming.
You know, I think on No Agenda, you guys were talking about George Carlin, I believe. And I think this was you, right? Talking about how Adam had the cure for the homeless or the houselessness.
Yeah, you dig up the golf courses and put up houses.
But here's
the
problem. They are digging up the golf courses. However, what's happening is they're putting up expensive condos on them.
Now you're talking.
That's what's going on down here. All the public courses are just being totally steamrolled.
They did that in the Bay Area some years and years ago. They had the course I used to play at, Coyote Hills, was dug up and turned into a housing development. There used to be a very unusual golf course in Hayward called the Hayward, I think it was Hayward Municipal. And it was one of the flattest courses I've ever played. And it was right by a bowling alley and it was huge. And they tore that up. I mean, it's just like golf courses are on the way out except in certain areas.
They're on the way out because golf has become less popular, especially post Tiger Woods days.
I know they're all begging. They're hoping to God that Tiger is making a comeback and at least he could prop up the sport a little bit.
Yeah. He had a great week. Came in what? Second.
Yeah.
At the PGA. My son was out there. He was sending me pictures of Tiger in the background as he's sitting in the crowd. A lot of fun. We also saw the CPI report come out. It was, a little bit more subdued as well today. That's why the markets initially, when this report came out this morning at 8:30, they went from, the futures went from +3 to like +13, 14. And the U.S. dollar dropped pretty precipitously on that as well. Again, why? Well, maybe we're not going to have four rate hikes this year. That's all of this nonsense is all about. When it comes, it's all it's all about.
It's nuts.
Yeah. And then the market sold off today. We did a 400 plus point round trip.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty wild.
Well, we saw a lot of things happening, right?
Day traders, you probably did okay.
Yeah, I mean, I personally have the VIX on. I had a short at the top and I closed it. But what's happening is the question. Where is this all coming from? Why is this volatility? I hate to say this, but some of it's coming from the disorganization and the chaos that's going on in the White House.
Yeah, I think the Tillerson firing had to affect the market somehow.
Especially how he was fired. That's just not cool.
By Twitter.
That's just not cool.
It's like the people get divorced by Twitter. I mean, honey, I'm asking for a divorce. Tweet.
Yeah, you're doing your thing and you get tapped on the shoulder. Meanwhile, Tillerson's dad died like 3 days ago. Where's the compassion?
No, I didn't know that.
I believe so. You know, and he's doing his thing and he had a little illness and he's trying to get things organized.
He should have waited for like the Christmas week, then fire him then.
Scrooge. But then he was, you know, don't forget Tillerson had a bomb dropped on him last week when all of a sudden out of nowhere, Trump's, yeah. I'll meet with that guy from North Korea. Yeah. Set it up. Like, wait. We've had decades of political, not only here, but around the world, of a certain structure. Not that that can't be solved. Not that we don't want that to be solved. But I mean, maybe we should kind of figure out if the guy really wants to meet with you. Because he hasn't returned the call. Kim Jong-un hasn't returned the call. So it looks like a questionable meeting at best.
We'll see.
Yeah. You think it's going
to
do rather, it?
I think it's fun to watch Trump just do ad lib like that.
This week in economics, we also
and have. And by the way, I've never believed for a minute that Tillerson wasn't going to be gone after he called Trump a moron.
Right. Now the big question is he going to really unleash?
No.
You don't think so? He looked. No. Did you see his concessions, or I don't know if it's a concession speech, but his firing speech or his leaving speech or whatever you want to call it, his retirement speech?
Yeah.
He looked like he was going to cry.
Well, he was very upset by this, I believe.
He's probably embarrassed to hell.
Well, yeah, it's humiliating.
When's the last time a Secretary of State was fired so fast?
I have no idea. I'm sure it's happened before.
We got some more on that. I have. Let's see here. Yeah, I got something. Oh, so Tillerson also. Did you watch the speech?
I did.
Okay. Did you record the speech?
No.
All right. I have a feeling you're going to have to do this on No Agenda. Okay. There was a point in his speech or in his discussion that all of a sudden he said something about and the sexual harassment issues. I'm like, what sexual harassment issues? He was talking about the State Department or something.
Oh.
It just kind of slipped right in there. And then he kept going on.
I wonder what that was all about.
I have no idea. But maybe there's something going on in the State Department that's...
Well, that wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah. But I think you should catch that. That was something that really...
I will go back. It's on YouTube. I'll go back and listen to it.
Yeah, you got to listen to that. But he's also not going to be going, by the way, back to... Tillerson's not going to be going back to working for an oil company. I guarantee you. Because if he does, he's going to have to forfeit $180 million in deferred compensation as part of his severance package and leaving to go from ExxonMobil to the government.
Yeah, he can do some other things. You don't need to work at an oil company if you're just an executive style guy.
Yeah. But now he's fired. Yeah, that's not really good on your resume.
No. No, besides, I think he can do a lot of other things. Oh, he can retire with that kind of money if he's got a pot full of money.
Right. Now, this is a surprise to everybody. I mean, listen.
Surprised me.
As of December 2017, Trump clearly stated that he was not going to be firing or any problems with Rex Tillerson, right? I have on the site.
This is modern management style. And I'm reminded.
It's like, not modern. Don't say modern. It's not the word modern.
I'm going to say modern management style. This is what they did to Blake Griffin down at the L.A. Clippers. They said he's going to be a Clipper for life. They gave him a huge contract and put his jersey up on the ceiling and then fired him 2 weeks later.
So and that's called modern.
I think it's modern, yes, because I'm seeing it. I'm only saying modern because I'm seeing this go on here and there in different forms.
It's more like Paleolithic.
Well.
Or what was the guy's?
What goes around comes around. It's a cycle.
What age was it when cavemen were beating their wives over the head with a with some kind of a mallet or, you know, a club? That's what this is. That's what this is. Donald Trump writes in December 17th in a tweet, "The media has been speculating that I fired Rex Tillerson or that he was leaving soon. Fake news. He's not leaving. And while we disagree on certain subjects, I call the final shots, of course. We work well together and America is highly respected again." There you go. It's a tweet right from December 2017.
Well,
things change. Modern governing. Modern management.
That's what I'm going to call it from now on.
Modern management. Okay. Just to talk about and wrap this up, tidy this up, put a bow on it. This week we got retail sales, PPI, business inventories coming out, import-export prices. Those will be interesting, and the PPI. The Philly Fed on Thursday, I believe. NAHB housing market builders confidence. Housing starts in the U Michigan confidence for March, the first read. So back, not that I want to give him any more airtime here, but what do you think about this Qualcomm Broadcom deal blocked by President Trump, said to be a national security issue?
I'm surprised that half of these mergers go through. Doesn't surprise me. I'm not surprised. In fact, I think there's been plenty of mergers that went through in the last 5 or 6 years. I know you disagree with this, but there's a lot of them that have gone through that I think we're all ill-advised. I don't think they did the country any good.
So you think that,
especially in tech,
is this protectionist?
You know, one company, Google, buys up all the search engines that ever come. Every new search engine idea that comes up, they buy them. Yahoo did the same thing. Yahoo buys a bunch of companies and shutters them. I'm not seeing any of this as a positive thing.
But it can be done domestically. It just can't be done on a global basis. I mean, if Google goes and buys...
No, there's antitrust laws that can prevent these from happening domestically. Oh, antitrust,
yes. But that's not what this was about. This was about a national security issue.
Yeah, it's an excuse. It was still antitrust as far as I'm concerned. I mean, yeah, that's what he called it. And maybe there's something there. I don't know. But these companies... I'm just not a big fan of this ever-enlarging monster companies. And so, we got to be as big as Intel.
Right. But is this SOP, standard operating procedure for the president to block these, or does it usually go through a DOJ process?
Usually goes through a process. The president blocking it seems, I don't even know if it's legal.
Yeah. Well, it can, because he did it on a national security issue basis.
Well, maybe that's why he did it then, just to use the national security excuse.
Right.
I can't imagine he likes to see these mergers and acquisitions going nuts.
I would think, and especially if it's not... So who is it? It's going to be Broadcom. Right. So this was going to be a foreign country buying a domestic company versus the other way around. So this was a Singapore-based company, Broadcom, Avago, chip company, buying Qualcomm, which is a U.S. company.
Well, the joke is, of course, that Broadcom used to be a U.S. company.
Right. And then they were bought up. Then that Avago-Broadcom deal. And the final issue in terms of politics is that Larry Kudlow, CNBC Larry Kudlow.
I heard this too.
Is the leading candidate to replace Gary Cohn as the top White House economic advisor. Now, do you know anything about Larry Kudlow?
Well, I know he's been around forever.
Forever.
And he ended up having to be a analyst on CNBC. And he's against most of Trump's policies.
He's a supply side guy. He's a king dollar guy. He was a former Reagan economic advisor. He's against high taxes and government regulation. He was absolute that there would be no recession in 2007 or 2008 during 2007, 2008. Never going to happen. The good news is he's sober now. for about the last 15 years. He was had a very significant cocaine habit.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Reports that in
the, that's probably what brought him down.
Reports in the 80s and 90s that he was spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on drugs and alcohol. He was fired from his position in 94 due to cocaine use. And anecdotally, I've heard, maybe, not spreading any bad things, but I heard he could be a real dick. I've heard some things that he's done in restaurants to people, and especially, I guess, when he was maybe under the influence or something, that he just, what a, ugh. He's been on my show. He's been on the Disciplined Investor podcast.
Okay.
But
is he a dick to you?
Yeah, it's not very exciting. But then again, I think he was clean. It was after, let's see, it was after 2009, so he was probably clean by then. Or at least sober.
Yeah, probably.
But here's my question.
A lot of those guys aren't very entertaining unless they're kind of wasted on coke.
What? True. What? Wasn't there a time when the thought of trying marijuana, if you were president, was going to totally exclude you from the potential for being a president?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you could try it, but you can't inhale.
You can't inhale. Right. You can't inhale. Right. Now.
Somehow. I don't know how you do that, but somehow Clinton managed it.
And now we have somebody who is going to head up the economic council or the economic advisor who had massive drug problems in his history. So you say, well, Andrew, what are you? Give a guy a second chance. Okay. But it just seems a little upside down to me.
Well, Trump, you know, is a teetotaler.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him if he drunk a little bit, but he won't. And he's, you know, just clean. And Kudlow is coming in clean, supposedly, because he's cleaned up his act and he's ex, you know, I'm ex sober. They always say, I'm 10 years sober. And, that, you know, in some, it's like a badge of honor. And so maybe it works out that way. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what that he can't find somebody better.
Yeah, it's getting more and more murky. I mean, now we have Pompeo. I don't want to turn this into political.
I mean, Trump promised when he was running, he's going to get the greatest business leader,
the best people.
He's going to have Carl Icahn's coming in. Here he comes, and then when he gets in, now these guys, all his buddies, say, well, you know, I don't really want to do that kind of work. I'm making millions of dollars and having fun. What do I want to work for the government for?
All the best people. That's all I'm saying. All right, now, switching over to some more government issues, but outside the U.S., remember that whole anti-corruption effort in Saudi Arabia? The whole purge?
Yeah.
Remember how that was, you know, Trump said, yes, they're doing the right thing. And everybody said, oh, yeah, and we're watching over here going, wait a second. They're taking all this royalty and government officials. They're putting them into, okay, they're putting into the Ritz. That's nice. And then they're extorting them for billions of dollars.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
And everybody's like, no, it's just a cleanup of corruption. And I'm like, what are you talking about, right?
It was a complete ripoff.
Now there's talk of coercion and abuse to seize the billions.
Yeah, I'll bet.
All of a sudden, right? And it was, again, it was all, as we saw, you and I saw, it was a lockup to basically just extract money from people. Now, all of a sudden, we got that going on, and the Saudi Aramco IPO is going to be delayed until at least 2019.
Oh, I didn't realize that was still in play. Yep. Ah, that was a blunder.
Yep. So I guess oil prices aren't.
They should have rolled that thing out as soon as they could.
Yeah, when they were looking good, like they weren't, you know, doing what the bad things they were doing, the torturous technique to get money. Terrible. Jeff Bezos. Yeah,
it may never come out now.
Never. Well, they said 2019. If they get oil prices high enough, you know they will. But they don't have to take it out now because they got billions of dollars. They didn't need the money.
That's right. They got a bunch of cash on hand.
Cash on hand. Let it sit a little longer. Jeff Bezos, founder of a website that was selling books. You know what his net worth is?
It's way up there. I think he's number one now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's number one. By 50% more than Bill Gates.
Yeah.
$131 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot.
His net worth is equivalent to 0.7% of all U.S. GDP. About 8.5% of the existing home sales annually. 2.5% of the total of the top 500 richest people in the world.
Yeah. And he's still a lousy tipper right here.
All right. Okay. Here's your list. There's a little table that we put up on the site that shows you the richest people. So Bill Gates is what? 92. Take half of that. It's 45. Add it to that. It's 131. Yeah. Jeff Bezos is a 1.5 times Bill Gates. How amazing is that?
He definitely passed him. Like he was standing still.
Amazing.
Yeah, there it is. That's a good little list. It's funny Zuckerberg's up there that high.
75
has billion. Carlos Sim, says Slim.
He's from, Mexico Telecom. That's where he made his money.
Well, actually, if you take Larry Page and Sergey Brin and put them together, they're second to highest if they were combined.
Good point. That's right.
It's the same company, so, you know, it's generated that much.
A lot of net worth here. Okay, moving along. Oh, quick question. Time for a question. Ask John Dvorak. Why is this news? You ready?
Okay.
Big news all over the TV today. It's snowing and there's winter storms in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Why is this news?
I think it's news because it's a specific type of storm called a nor'easter.
That's what happens in the winter. And yes, but I agree with you.
I think a nor'easter is, they have a lot of storms, yes, but it doesn't necessarily snow and snow and snow. But the nor'easter, I don't think is something that happens every year.
No, the nor'easter is definitely like a, you know, little, not a hurricane, but a mini hurricane, kind of.
It's a storm.
Yeah. But it's a bad storm. It's a bad storm. But I don't know why they're just all up. It's a nor'easter.
Well, no, that is the third one so far, and they may have a fourth.
Yep. I got people up that way.
Well, they're probably complaining bitterly.
They're complaining, but I'm sick of seeing it on the news. I mean, we get rain, we get things, it happens. You know, and you know what? The other thing about the
nor'easter. They're leading the news with it. You're right.
Yeah, nor'easter. Because they can say nor'easter because they think it's cool because you could shorten
it. That sounds good. Yeah, I like saying it.
Nor'easter.
A nor'easter.
Yeah. Hi, we have a winter storm brewing in New York. No, that doesn't work. Nor'easter. Epic. Four in a row. And then they got to start with a never before in the last 200 years have we had four nor'easters in 1 year. And then they start with the, why? Well, it's the melting
global warming.
Yeah, of course. It's the melting ice caps. And here we go again. It's always the same thing, you know? It always boils down to something, you know? I just thought of something. Wait, what? You and I didn't even pick up on this. Now that's going to translate to what for earnings?
Oh, yeah, it's going to translate to earnings issues because of the weather.
I just thought of that. Yep. That's right. Weather, weather, the retail, no, we'd have been fine if it wasn't. So now they're going to do, let's see, they did constant currency earnings. Now we have to have constant weather earnings.
Yes, exactly. You nailed it. Constant currency, constant weather.
We exclude the bad
weather. If it wasn't for the weather.
Well, we'd make money. So don't take down the stock because we would have made money if it wasn't a snowstorm. So funny. Black Panther, have you seen that yet?
No, have you?
Yeah, I saw it.
What do you think?
Aside from the fact that I thought it was out of nowhere, Hakuna Matata would start being sung at any moment here. Because it seemed like I'll be honest with you. When I first went, I didn't know it was a Disney movie. I just went. Somebody said, you want to see Black Panther? I'm like, okay. I wasn't paying attention to what this movie was. So I went and I saw it. And the whole time, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in a Disney movie. Seriously. It was like singing and things. And it turned out to be, of course, a Disney movie. I thought it was good. There was some slow spots.
There's singing in it?
There's like music. There's like a lot of African music and you know, like the kind of kumbaya, Hakuna Matata music that you swing into. You know what I mean? It's
yeah, I know what you mean because I guess when they're in Africa, they're singing right. About you know, something.
They got all that going on. But they raked in $1 billion.
Yeah.
So far.
I know. So only a handful of movies have done that.
Because of all the diversity.
Well.
Somebody needs to
teach. How was the story? Was the story any good?
It was okay. I thought there was definitely some interesting parts, a lot of clever, very new type of futuristic concepts, some good characters that were in there. So the story was good. It's an action flick with a lot of good special effects.
That's what the seems to be what all the moneymakers are.
Good guy, bad guy.
I'm surprised. This is something because the Oscars were so dull. You know, somebody does mention this. This started years ago, maybe 10 or almost maybe longer, it came to the fore, which is, why don't they give awards to the movies that people want to go see or movies that are very successful?
The highest box
office?
Yeah,
they give them a special effects. They give them one. They give them a sound editing. They'll get an award for that.
But you mean a box office?
Some of these movies seems to be should be like up for best picture if it's that fantastic.
Why not just have the best picture being the one that sold the most tickets?
Well, technically, I could see doing that. Let's be realistic here. That's what the business is about. Let's give an award to somebody who sells the most tickets.
And then they must
be doing something right.
Right. Then they don't have to worry about all this other shenanigans like, oh, you know, 1 year, no African Americans. Everybody's freaking out. So the next year they have to make up for it. Then they have no, you know, women. And then they have all this, you know, they don't have to do all this. They don't have to have all this stuff on stage and, you know, all these different makeups.
Well, yeah, that's political.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be political. Why don't we just have what it is, what it is?
Well, they're not going to do that because it's art.
Yeah. Well, I just don't have to see the movies then. I don't have to watch the Oscars, better yet, which I didn't.
Yeah. Well, most people didn't.
Yeah. Now, cryptocurrencies got to kind of move on to that because they're getting smashed over this week. Went from about 11,000 on Bitcoin down to about, I think, as low as 8,500.
It's still high, as far as I'm concerned. It was $400 just recently.
Yeah, when we were looking at it at first. Schmucks. Why? Big question is, what's going on? So some kind of weird story about the Bitcoin whale is dumping shares or dumping coins.
Oh, a Bitcoin whale.
Yeah. Dude that owns a lot is dumping. There's regulation that's coming out all over the place or discussion about it. The Binance market or exchange is one of the biggest, I think probably, I'm not sure if they're bigger than Coinbase, but they have all the coins plus their own coin. But their exchange somehow out of nowhere converted altcoins that people had into Bitcoins without their approval. That wasn't good.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, they converted them back, but still. We had hacks that have gone on. Now there's actually a hack bounty being put out by Binance. They have a hack bounty. If anybody finds hackers or whatever, they have a money that they'll pay you, which I'm sure that will be hacked somehow. And we've had exchange shutdowns, just shutting them down. They're not working. They're overloaded and they shut down. So people are freaking out a little bit. John Oliver in Last Week Tonight did a great segment on Bitcoin. Now, the material that he got was all from our show. He talked about the whole ridiculousness of it and all the Bitcoin freakos and, you know, the whole cult of Bitcoin and currencies. And he even talked about the Long Island Tea Company that changed their name and how these companies are changing their name to make all sorts of money. He even changed his name to something Bitcoin, which we've done on Twitter. Like, you know, or we said, we changed the name of our show one time, right? The Bitcoin D8 Bitcoin show. And it was, you know, Andrew Bitcoin. Well,
I think it was really blockchain.
Blockchain, that too. Yeah, anyway, the show was very entertaining. I find him entertaining and silly. But it was, I put the link, actually I threw it up on Twitter, but I also put the link on the show notes for this episode. By the way, Twitter, John C. Dvorak can be found at The Real Dvorak. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word. We need Twitter followers. I don't know why, but it's important to see.
Yeah, they're kind of drifting away because there's all these supposed bots and they're killing these accounts left and right.
Which I'll be
happy. I'm down 1,000.
I'm down like 500. And you have a bigger base. So I must have some real crap in there. Finally, wrapping up on this part of the segment of the show, just 1 week after it was said that Greece would no longer need any further aid, Eurozone creditors expected to disperse new loans to Greece.
Of course.
The head of the bloc's finance minister said on Monday that steps that should help keep and underpin its economic recovery. Last week, they don't need it. Nope, we're good. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, because everything is good. And so what happens? Their bonds go up. Everybody gets excited. They invest in Greece. And now they're going to get loans. So now we just forget about that. Anyway. We do have, like I said, some special opportunities for donations. Why don't you pitch the donation? Let me see how it's done by an expert.
I think people out there who listen to this show, I think they get a balanced report that's a little unusual. It's not what you hear on CNBC. And I believe that this is worth something to you. And it's not like we're asking for a ton of money, but if you have something, in other words, if you consider the show worth anything, pass it along. Andrew's got a link on the webpage.
Yep. Little donate button. You can't miss it. We got some Fed limericks, some carryovers.
Yeah, I see these.
Here's the first one by me. There once was a man from
First of all, let's start with these are both by you.
Yeah.
And there's only two of them.
Yeah.
What happened to our
I have
our
no idea.
People?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, here we go.
Maybe they're on a limerick holiday. There once was a man from D.C. who now thinks inflation is key. He watches the price, has the option to think twice whether four hikes will become a necessity.
Yes. Wow. I think that's your best one ever.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's perfectly balanced.
Oh.
It's got a good rhyming structure. It's not funny, but I'll give you an A for it.
Wow. All right. Everybody mark this down. An A on the first one. The second one here, thank you very much, thank you. The second one is unrelated to the Fed, but I don't know, somebody gave me an idea. Podcasting was started by Curry. He was never in too much of a hurry to take all of the credit, even though it was with merit. Now everyone has a podcast is his worry.
Yeah, that one's, this one is, makes a point. The rhyming structure is a little off balance.
Hurry, worry. That's the curry, hurry, worry.
Well, it's curry, hurry, credit, merit.
Yeah, credit doesn't work. Yeah, credit and merit.
Credit and merit doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then worry, hurry, curry. This you have one, two, three, four. It's essentially four words in the first phrase, and then you got one, two, three. Everyone, you got a lot of syllables there.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a C.
All right. I'll take it. But there is a point there somewhere.
Yeah, you do make a point. Although he's not a worrying type.
No, definitely not. DH Unplugged, close to the pin for McDonald's. We have our price guesses, and I think you have another 3 days, 2 or 3 days, to get your price in for McDonald's, the wonderful hamburger place with that delicious, delicious French fries and shakes. And
so I went to a McDonald's recently to check this out.
Uh-oh.
I think the burger, like the Big Mac, I had a Big Mac. I think it's what it always has been ever since they kind of downgraded the quality like 25 years ago, whenever it was first made with fresh ingredients when it first came out. And you can look up the data on the wiki page. Cause I talked to, one of the Latter brothers who owns more in those days in the '70s, they owned Morehouse Mustard. And they're the ones who came up with the formulation of, and they used fresh horseradish and fresh mustard, and that was all changed to powdered.
Oh, in the special sauce you're talking about?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was downgraded when it went to the powder. And then there's also a lot of wood pulp in McDonald's buns and burgers, apparently.
Intentionally?
Yeah, well, it's a good filler, and it gives you fiber. And, you know, get to eat a little wood. It probably doesn't hurt.
Sounds wrong.
So I had this. So it tastes like it always tastes. So that they've done a good job of keeping an even keel with the Big Mac. The French fries are a disaster.
Whoa, really?
They used to be, like, notorious. People would just buy French fries from them because they were this, especially they were coated with something. I read the whole story about the invention.
They were coated with, like, sugar. Remember that?
Well, it was something, yeah, but it's a liquid. I don't know what the whole process is, but it was written up a number of times, and the French fries were always extremely crispy, and they had a nice flavor. These were all soggy. The flavor, there was no flavor at all. They seemed greasy. It seemed like a lousy, lousy bag of French fries. I couldn't eat them. Hmm. There you go.
Hmm.
Couldn't eat them. I had to throw them out.
And what else do you have? You have an apple cake or apple pie?
No, I'm not going any further than
that was it.
Big Mac.
Big Mac, which is, you know what's on there, right?
What?
Two old beef patty special salsa, cheese pickles, onion, sesame
seed
bun. Yeah, it's
a sesame seed bun. Yeah.
All right. Well, so we got the prices in. And whether you like McDonald's or not, make sure you get there because you could win a wonderful t-shirt and all sorts of good things. Data sharing business Dropbox, maybe we'll call it Drop Price, filed for its initial public offering this week. It's going to be going out for about valuing it about $7 billion, seven or so billion dollars, which is the high end of the range. However, this is a third of the price of the highest valuation that was previously pegged.
Huh.
Some of these unicorn companies are, well, don't forget, they also, you know, they have the Google Google Drive and you have Microsoft Azure and Microsoft Cloud. You have Box. Amazon. You got Amazon. So they're not the Box, only game in time anymore.
Yeah. There's a lot of action going on.
I have two of my favorite stories. There's a few of these coming. Actually, this whole section is my favorite stories of the week. Number one. China removed presidential term limits from its constitution on Sunday, giving President Xi Jinping the right to remain in office indefinitely and confirming his status as the country's most powerful leader since Mao Zedong.
Guess what?
Well,
he will.
You know what's really fascinating?
Remain indefinitely. Yeah.
You know what's fascinating? He's only been in office since 2013. It's not like he's been in office for a number of years and they want him to stay. 5 years. That's it.
Well, make that move when you can.
I don't want to give anybody ideas, if you know what I'm saying. No, but I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. They changed the Constitution. I think there's only two nay votes. Of course, they can't find them anymore, those people.
They're not available for comment.
Yeah. But they changed the Constitution, and now this is going to probably bring on a whole slew of other issues in terms of how they're handling their government. They put in tonight a announcement of a super-powered corruption crackdown. I mean, he's supposedly trying to clean up everything, but...
Well, he's been trying to do that from the beginning, and they thought that the bureaucrats would get rid of him because he was so adamant about it. But this is like an example of, this is another country. I blame the United States for a lot of this.
Oh?
That country was never really designed to be any sort of an elective democracy, even though it's, I mean, it just wasn't, not that they couldn't do it or they can't do it on local levels. It's just that it's not the style. Historically, they've been around for thousands and thousands of years longer than we have, and they've always had a strong leader that stayed in office, an emperor, let's use the right word,
mm-hmm.
and or an empress. There have been a couple of them. The evil empress Wu comes to mind. And I would also say the same thing about the Russians.
Yeah.
I think traditionally it's been a czarist operation.
Yeah. It's communist. Right?
Well, it's communist now, but I mean, the communist thing was supposed to shoo in the, new guys coming and going, but, Stalin stayed too long and it's just a version of the czar. Mm-hmm. And this guy in particular, Putin, he's like exactly the same. So I think we're just going to have to live with this stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens with this, but I think it's interesting timing that, this happens and right after that we're putting some kind of intellectual property on him. And now this guy has enormous power. Again, I'll just say it again. I don't know why we're poking the bear.
Well, why not?
In Fukushima, just a little bit south and west and over that way from China, a little flashback from Fukushima. Remember that time when that little bitty non-nuclear meltdown happened?
Yeah.
And don't worry about it. It's not a meltdown. It's a meltdown, but don't worry. We have it contained. It's not so contained. There's a little bit of leakage. Very, very minor. Very minor leakage. We're finding there's a lot more radiation in the water. But we got it covered with this ice wall. Remember the ice wall?
Oh, the ice wall, yeah.
Failing. Failing. So 7 years after the disaster, the ice wall, which cost a ton of money, is failing to keep groundwater from seeping into the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. When it was announced in 2013 by TEPCO, who's been lying through their teeth along with the government on this, They assured skeptics that it would limit the flow of groundwater into the plant's basement, where it mixes with highly radioactive debris from the site's reactors, to nearly nothing. Oops. They were wrong. All sorts of problems. Nobody's ever going back there. Well, if they want to keep their hair. Elon Musk made a big announcement this week.
Yeah?
Yep. He said he's going to see the first rocket to Mars. Going to be ready for short trips. Short trips. I don't know what short trips means when it comes to Mars. But short
Mars is the same distance. I guess they have to come around the Mars and the Earth are kind of aligned nearby.
I guess. Short trips in 2019, the beginning of 2019. Although he said.
Yeah, bull crap.
Yeah. He announced this at South by Southwest. And he said, you know, man, maybe the time is a little
different. I bet you got a round of applause, too. These people are idiots to believe this.
Not to mention the stock went up 5%.
Well, what goes up must come down.
Let me ask you this question about this. One, why does he want to go to Mars so bad? Aside from the fact that he can.
Well, he wants to die there, he said.
He wants to die there because he feels that that could be, we could bring a whole new way of life onto Mars. And we would have all these different domes and houses and all this stuff brought up there and put together. And we'd live on Mars, right?
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty much like living in East Palo Alto. Yeah.
Why doesn't he do it on the moon? A lot closer. Try just a little township, small little township on the moon.
Well, that's a good point that you make.
I don't understand what the Mars thing is all about.
It is a lot closer.
I'm baffled. I don't
know. You read too much science fiction when you was a kid. I have no idea.
We saw that movie, that Mars, The Martian. But also, we know nothing about Mars, right?
I mean, Not really.
We've never stepped foot on it.
Nope, you can't bring a lot of stuff back.
North Korea. Best Buy is one of several chains using a third-party service to score customer shopping behaviors to impose limits on the amount of merchandise that they can return.
What?
Mm-hmm.
This is going in the wrong direction.
No kidding. And this is the problem with everybody allowing everyone to track you. Well, this is like my story about Universal where they want to fingerprint me. Forget about it. People, wake up. Wake up. Just if you want to buy something, how about this? When you go up to a cash register and you're going to pay with cash, let's say, right? And they start asking you for your phone number and your address, what do? Do you give it to them?
No.
I never give it to them. Well, it was their business. I'm buying something from them.
Or give them a fake number.
Yeah.
Give them the local police department number. That'd be a great idea.
Yeah. So anyway, March Madness, finally, any bets you're making? Any bracketing you're doing?
No, I find that this is tedious. Mm. I mean, there's a couple of teams. I watch a couple of games. I want to watch a couple of – the only guy I want to watch – well, two guys I want to watch. I do want to see the mini Steph Curry on Oklahoma. But apparently, Arizona's got some freshman guy. I think he's a center or he's a forward. Big, big, giant guy. They equate him to Wilt Chamberlain. I want to see this guy.
Mm. All right.
He's apparently the killer kid. And everyone expects him to probably quit as a freshman and be the first guy selected. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to see that. That's all. And after that, I'll watch the Final Four and then I'm done.
What are you writing for PC Magazine?
Forgot already.
All right, I'm going to play this really great Stuttering Terrace by Fletcher.
You have it?
Yeah, you can't hear it. It doesn't pipe through you. They heard it.
I wrote about, okay. Yeah, this is a good, it's actually a good column. So I'm playing around with, because I'm instead of using Google, I'm using Bing. And so I.
And why? Whoa. You can't just say that.
Why?
Why are you using Bing, not Google?
I check out Bing once in a while. I'm fair. And Google's a little too, their tracking is a little too annoying.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at, and Bing is actually producing good results recently. And above all, I think their photo search has become better.
Oh, really?
That's yeah.
Cool. I'll have
and
to Bing it.
Then I stumble on to Google Bing Maps, which I thought was, I never thought much of it in the past, but it has directions. I think it's better than Google Maps.
Really?
They got TV cameras. So then they show where they are. You can click them and you can see the traffic. The routing's a little different.
You mean in real time?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
And the routing's a little different. And then just by fooling around with it, because I said, well, the only thing I kind of like about Google is Street View. They have a clone of Street View called Street Side. It's hard to find, but you can you click on the one little tab on the far right, and you click it goes down. And you see Street Side, and it's the same thing. It's you can drive around, virtually. You have all these. You're down to at the ground level. It's not as complete as Google's product in that regard. Because if you go to France, you don't find those. They got nothing. But with local, I checked out my house. I thought the picture was probably a little dated. Maybe they should send more of those cars around. But yeah, I was very impressed.
Nice. You convinced me.
You should check it out.
I'm going to Bing it. I'm doing the Bing.
Yeah, Bing it.
Bing it, Bing it, Bing it. All right. So all of that, was that the article that you're writing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all about that.
Yeah.
So you're saying something good about Microsoft.
Yeah.
People don't believe that you say good things.
But they don't say, I think I say good things about anything.
Why do they have that impression?
Because what it is, you say, because once in a while you get critical and with these guys in tech, especially Apple guys, you're critical once and they think that you're personally insulted them and they hate you forever, even though you might not be critical ever again. I had the same thing with Microsoft. You're critical once and they see that you're some horrible Microsoft hater. It's bull crap.
Yep. You're no hater. John Dvorak's no hater.
No hater.
All right. Let's go over to the stocks. The game that we play, it's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. It's only some ideas that we come up with to have some fun with. And you can track all of these over on dhunplugged.com and just click on the weekly stock picks page and you can find them streaming in real time with actually the gains, losses, and what's going on, what's in, what's out of the portfolio. John C. Dvorak, myself, and Horowitz come to clients may own some of the securities that are mentioned here, and we'll duly note that in the disclosures when they are available. So,
yes, that could happen.
I took Straight Path out this week. You'd see that 25% gain.
Yeah.
Qualcomm got booted.
Well,
that's because we had that together.
Yeah, that was too bad.
Facebook is still underwater. Church and Dwight, the condominium makers or condom makers, up 4.5% on a buy.
Condom makers, yeah.
Moroni Biotech Innovations. By the way, if you still held that, you'd make even more money. Look, it was up 8.5% again today. Up 40%. Up 40% on the insiders. I put an extra stop on there, even though you didn't say so, because you would have been stopped out in 5 seconds on this. So I pumped it to a 20%. You can't have a dollar stock at 10% stop.
It was dumb.
So I pumped it to a 20% stop because that's what you should have of that. But it still did stop out at 40% profit.
But it's still going up.
I don't know where it is today, but it's higher. It was up 8.5% today.
That was one of those penny stocks that are got a lot of insider buying. Typically, it's, people, they know something.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yep. Overstock got kerplunked today. We're up 13.3% on my pick on the ICO investigations, shorting Overstock. Piece of crap. I think they have earnings tomorrow. Thursday. I think they have earnings Thursday. Transocean up 4%.
By the way, I want to mention something because you kind of breezed past it. Qualcomm was our only joint pick that ever lose money.
That's true. It was up too. We were up nicely until this deal got called.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we would have made out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one you can blame on Trump.
Okay. That is true, actually. And I don't even think the Trump lovers and diehards can disagree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he said no. I agree. Put the kibosh. I got two quickies. Shorting both Twitter due to the UK tax on digital revenues, whatever that means. And the fact that it's run up ridiculously and I don't see how they're going
to make a good call.
I don't think they're going to get how they're going to make their revenue numbers. I still do not see ads in my mobile stream. Okay. It's telling you that. I don't see any ads.
Well, I don't either, actually. I don't think I've ever seen an ad on my I don't use the phone that much, but when I have it.
I never. And they're supposed to get all their revenue from there.
Yeah, well, they're full of crap, I believe. Yeah.
And the other thing I'm going to be shorting is Sleep Number Corporation, the old Select Comfort. You know, the I could lay down in my bed and push number 42, and my husband could put down number 75.
Yeah, and he won't snore.
Yeah. Too many mattress companies. Have you ever driven down the roads where they have mattress after mattress after mattress?
You bitch about this as much as you bitch about. You have your five pet peeves.
At least.
One is the shoes at the airport. Another one is Crocs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Green Mountain's another one. And then this is another one.
Yep, I'm back on it.
It's the same ones.
Back on it.
Yeah, I can tell.
So it's in a little bit of pattern. I mean, these things have been bought up by the private equity and all that, but it's just crap. So we'll see. What do you have?
I have one, and it's, again, another insider buying. I'm going to double check this guy to make sure. Cause, you know, John Paulson just bought and sold a whole crap load of I got to go back and just change
John
pages.
Paulson, the hedge fund manager?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just bought and sold at the same time. I don't know what these transactions are. Maybe you can explain them. But he bought and sold if I can get my thing to go right here. I can't do anything. He bought and sold a slew of, I've had this stock before, of Valeant Pharmaceuticals.
Valeant. VRX.
Valeant. Yeah, VRX.
Right.
He bought, like, I don't know, $40, $50 million worth and sold it, both all at the same time. I don't know what kind of what's going on with these deals, but he did that. But I don't know what he's up to with some fancy maneuver. I have no idea. It's lost on me. I'm not picking that stock. I'm just telling you.
There was some word I saw today about another insider picking up a chunk of VRX today. This is the company that fell from grace from like $190 down to eight. Now is it 15, 16?
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay. Let's put it on anyway.
I don't know what he's doing. He could be doing something to offset something else. You know what I'm talking about?
There's some offsetting trades going on with this stock, but I don't know. I'll put it on there because it does have, there's a couple of chart things that look, you know, there's two different, there's contradictory chart lines. One says, well, you know, it could be going up, and the other says, it could be going down. But I'll put it on there. I'm not going to actually buy this stock for sure. But I'll put it on the game. Mm-hmm. Now the other one, which is I think another one that's got another insider. This is, I'm having so much trouble here with my clicker. Oh yeah, Bank of New York.
Oh, Bank of New York, is that B
K?
Oh, just B K. Bank of New York Mellon.
Yeah, Mellon.
More insiders.
Yeah, that's the only reason. I wouldn't do it otherwise. But it could be if the market starts to take off, the financials usually lead the way. And so this thing, you know, it's down a little bit.
All right. Well, that looks good. We're just on time.
I should be looking for shorts, but I can't seem to find any.
Well, you're not going to find them probably with looking through insiders.
No, I'm just saying I'm looking for shorts outside of the insiders.
Yeah, there could be a lot if this market does roll over, but we'll see. I mean, there's been a lot of rolling, a lot of pushing up. The Dow Jones seems very weak. These tariffs, I'm telling you, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, when things start to collapse, it's going to be a lot of them. So
exactly. All right. Well, I will talk to you. We're going to end it here because we're running out of time, and I will talk to you next week.
Okay, see you then. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.